Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9 o'clock, 713-780-3776. You want to get in here to hang with us? John and Lance. And if you want to come and hang, 713-780-3776. So Brandon Marshall was asked by TMZ, had a long conversation with him about the Cowboys and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Who cares what? Now, they did get around to Deshaun Watson, though, with Brandon Marshall. And here's what Brandon Marshall, he's a lot like Bucky Brooks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what Bucky Brooks told you in your podcast with him.
He basically said, the guy's under contract. You just paid him a lot of money. Yeah. You can force him to play, and if he decides not to play, you don't have to pay him.
Yeah, and Channing Crowder also said the same thing. And so here,
Channing Crowder, the basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and Marshall have a podcast together. TMZ caught up with both of them walking outside of a bar. And so Marshall started weighing in, and then Channing Crowder was like, oh, no, NBA guy, yeah, you're paying him, he's playing for you.
All right, this is the TMZ sound.
But on another question about Texas teams, because you got Watson fourth string. If you have him in the depth chart like that, do you got to play him first? Do you know what I mean? Or why have him out there? I mean, what is your take on that?
Actually, if they haven't suspended him, play him. He's a top five quarterback in this league. Play him. Right.
So that's a mistake.
Make the NFL make the decision, and that's who should be doing is the NFL to make the decision to say this guy's not allowed to play. Now I know it's iffy because of all the legal stuff going on right now, but if I am the Texans, I am playing Deshaun Watson.
It's all on Deshaun.
Right.
You know, if you have him on a depth chart, play him.
Play him.
Absolutely. But if I'm Deshaun, like the other side of that, if I'm Deshaun, I don't know if I want to play.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah, why?
For the money.
What do you mean for the money?
Man got a big deal. He's already on a big deal. Now, he'll get traded for
whether he play or not,
deal.
He's going to make money.
No, he'll take that money. No,
if he doesn't play, no, I'm saying.
If he, that's what I'm saying to Texas. They either got to play him or make him get suspended.
No.
Don't let him sit on the sideline.
The trade is intimate. Like, sorry, let's say that again. The trade is imminent.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
Nuts.
The trade is imminent. Like, right, yeah, I had two tequilas already. The trade is imminent. It's done.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple teams out there, real players. Okay? Like, they know that. He goes out there, they put him out there on that field, and he gets hurt. Now they lose the value. They lose everything. They lose the leverage. He's more valuable to the Texans on the sideline.
I would agree someone with that. What they're not taking into account is that Deshaun won't play for them. What they're not taking into account is Deshaun will fake an injury. We've already seen the ankle.
You force him to it, and you file a grievance. There is a Bucky and I. Bucky brought it up again on. I told him previously it caused a big fuss when I brought it up, and he's like, "Dude, you force him to play, and if he doesn't play, and he fakes an injury, and there is no, and you don't have, in your training staff, he said you can have MRIs. Like, you still have to prove injury." He said, so you can file a grievance and still have an opportunity. He said, but what you don't do is just say, well, Deshaun said he doesn't want to play, guys, so we can't play him. He's like, no. Then give back. He said, it's real easy. Tell Deshaun to give back the $27 million, and then we'll trade you. And then for sure, listen, you can stay home. We won't have you here. We'll trade you ASAP. As soon as a good deal comes up, as long as you give us back the signing bonus, we're good, 100%. You don't have to show up. You don't have to do anything. We're good. And but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have all of your money and then you don't have to play because you said I don't want it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to play.
And again,
if you want to fake an injury, then you go through the process.
Well, there are some injuries that won't show up anymore.
You know, Bucky said this. It sets a really bad precedent if you let a quarterback just say, "Nah, that you give him money and you can't get the money back, and then you don't even fight. Yeah. You just tell him, okay, you don't want to be here. That's fine. We'll just keep paying you money.
And again, I don't think that they're taking into account the other part of it, is that they don't want him. They don't want him as the face of the franchise anymore.
No, and that's, you know, but do they? I think the latest stuff that's come out about the Texans haven't.
I don't think anybody knows anything because they don't say, they're so tight-lipped, no, they don't say a word.
I think
everybody
the Texans,
is speculating on everything.
I think the Texans leaked that. I think the Texans leaked that to people because they don't talk. You're right. I think anybody who has something, it's because the Texans leaked it. So why would they leak it? Because they want it out there. Why do they want it out there that they would potentially, you know, still welcome Deshaun back? Because they want to create a little bit more leverage for a deal. That's all this is.
Well, maybe that, but not that.
I don't think they would find it very difficult
to believe.
I still think if Deshaun said, you know what, I've had a change of heart. I think that would be an interesting discussion, yes, in that building. If he was willingly ready to come back, I think Cal McNair would say, I want him back.
I don't know.
I don't know what Jack Easterby would say, but I think Cal would say, I want him back. And then Jack would trick Cal, and Cal would say, never mind.
Don't forget, Cal was in that room all those years with Bob McNair. I mean, maybe he wasn't listening. Maybe he was, I don't know, whatever Cal was doing. He's eating a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I don't know. But they were in that room, and they were cutting guys off their draft board because of character issues. And this team has always been
but this is a really big
on character.
This is a really good player, though.
Sometimes
guys get, you're willing to let it go, but you know, with the Sports Illustrated stuff that's come out again, I mean, this is.
And did you hear, so how about those women that said, Ashley, you know what the Solis NFL is doing? They are totally ignoring. And actually, it's a slap in the face for all women that the NFL has not acted and how they're going about their investigation.
What did they ignore?
And you know what? Okay, if Deshaun starts game one, they bring him back. Deshaun says, I want to come and play. Deshaun gets back out there. Deshaun is starting game one. You think there's any protests, any women outside of
maybe
the stadium?
Some, yeah, there may be some. I don't know. There may be some.
I mean, massage therapists unite?
No, I don't know. Think we're going to see massage therapists unite.
MTU?
Most of them weren't even massage therapists.
Well,
what, librarians unite?
Massages unite.
Flight attendants unite.
You know how many massage parlors are around in the city that could come out there and really...
He could have gone there.
Okay, I know.
He could have just gone there.
Where they go, okay,
we're all in on this deal.
Yeah.
Let's have a handshake deal on it. He could have gone there. Instead, he's like, hey, I noticed here on your Instagram page, it says that you are, that you teach third grade. I was wondering if you also do a prostate massage. No. That's not a direct message you should send to people.
Yeah.
Don't ask if they massage places like that. Mm. Just go to a massage place.
That's
Deshaun.
What they do.
But so Dell and I talked about this. I know that they, you know, the NFL is just seems like they have. Well, Ashley Solis, I think, said that she was pretty offended. They asked what she was wearing. And I get all that. But one of the things they said was, well, it seems like they're going in here and they're doubling back and they're asking us the same question. It's like they're trying to see if we're telling the truth. Yeah, the NFL is dealing with the he said, she said, and they are going to, this is not a court of law, so they are going to try to get as much information as they can and ascertain by any means necessary what took place. Because guess what? The legal system did nothing to Zeke Elliott, but the league did find that there was enough information there.
Well, they also said, though, in defense of the women, they're trying to trip him up. Yes, I could certainly see that. Are you consistent in your answers? Are they all the same? No, but they also said they cut
gloves.
Them off mid sentences and wouldn't let them finish their thoughts and then were circling back to stuff and trying to trip him up. And they were like, wait a minute, are you trying to find out something, or are you trying to, is this a good cop, bad cop thing you're playing here? Or are you really investigating what the hell happened there? I understand trying to trip up, you know, in testimony. I get that. And oh, by the way, this is what she did, is in the attorney general's office in New York. That's what she did. She tried to trip up witnesses to try to make sure that they get and that's what she's doing with the NFL.
And that's what you
apparently
have,
though. Apparently though,
it's they, all there. They are, had there are no other
these,
witnesses.
These women apparently, the investigators did not have the best attitude and went into it, I think, with a different attitude than the police department. As opposed to treating these women like potential victims, they treated them more like they were potential gold diggers. And I think that's what they a big deal about this is in the way the NFL handled the investigation.
But maybe they're also trying to, look, you're going to have to ask them uncomfortable questions because this is, once again, this is not a court of law. You're doing as much fact-finding as possible, and there's going to be some uncomfortable questions. Everything is not going to be, because they're not presuming him guilty. They have to look for all the information. As a matter of fact, this is not a court of law. They're basically going at it as though both sides are guilty. Like, you don't know what they're asking Deshaun Watson. They may be saying, we're going to go at this as though both sides are guilty, or a presumption that both sides could be guilty. You don't want to go one side versus another. And then you ask all the questions, and then you know what? We got the answers we wanted from 15 of the women, but seven of them not as much. And then with Deshaun Watson, we got this. Like, I'm just saying, it's not going to be the cleanest. It's not going to make you happy necessarily.
I think the cops probably handled it a little bit differently, and then they found they had something to compare it to.
They said the cops did.
They had something to compare it to, and the cops handled it better in their eyes than the NFL did.
But you're taking a statement. If you're the police, you're taking a statement, and this is much more fact-finding for the NFL. And then when you get to, if it goes to court, I got news for them. They're not going to like the way Rusty Harden talks to them.
Oh, no. Well, that you expect out of the defense lawyer.
Right.
Let me ask you this question, though. Is Deshaun, would you have more faith in Deshaun as your fourth string safety or Tim Tebow as your tight end right now?
A.
I think A.
Tim Tebow is going to be an early cut from camp.
Tim Tebow's
blocks. He's just not about it.
The blocks that he made.
He was never a tight end.
If you haven't seen Tim Tebow's blocks yet, that's all you have to do is Google, and they will pop up for you. Wow. Honestly, the effort and the, for a guy who's as strong as he is, he appeared to not be very physical.
That's all attitude. He didn't have that dog.
No.
That's a different dog to get in there and bang heads with somebody who's 280 pounds on a cross block that you're coming across formation. Tim Tebow's not about that life at all. And he's not the most graceful athlete. He's not the fastest guy. Tim Tebow had very little chance of making the team going in, and now he has basically no chance.
All right.
Unless there's just nobody on that roster at tight end, how in the world do you put Tim Tebow out there if you need somebody to block something?
Yeah. 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, you're more than welcome. But right now, what about TGF?
Blocking and tackling is what it's all about. And TGS Insurance helps you do that by getting down to the basics. It's about making sure that you have your homeowner's insurance. You've got a competitive rate with an A-rated company. So they make it easy. You text the word money to 232323. But, you know, keep in mind that with TGS Insurance, it becomes very, very easy to see how they're saving people on average $900 annually. And for those of you who have been with the same company for years, I'm telling you now, it's almost a lock that they're going to save you a bunch of money, because those rates will continue to go up and up and up on you when you stay with the same company. At TGS Insurance, they have an aggregated amount of A-rated insurance companies, and then they shoot your address to these companies, and these companies can come up instantaneously with quotes, and then TGS has a program that immediately sends the best price to your phone in text message form. So do what I did and just text the word money to 232323 and find out within 15 seconds how quickly you could be saving $900 or more on your homeowner's insurance.
Bad guy. Duh.
Know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
something new.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, conversation was about Deshaun Watson in the last segment. David wants to weigh in. What do you say, David?
Hey, guys. You know, investigators don't know the victim anything. The victim advocates are the ones that actually, you know, have to hold them to being victims and believe them. But 4% of cases are false accusations. So that's the hardest thing for a sexual assault victim, is to get past the cops really getting into them, because it can bring PTSD. And that's one of the main reasons sexual assault victims don't want to report, because they don't want to deal with the cops trying to find that 4%. And on the flip side, 96% are real rapes. So it's tough on the sexual assault victims when they have to get berated. But unfortunately, that 4% ruins it for the rest of the 96%.
Yeah. No. That is true, and I think you're right on, dead on the number there. But apparently the cops attacked it, or at least interviewed in a much more sensitive way than the NFL women did. And it's funny, you know, came from what NFL investigators are women. I don't know if the NFL and the police investigators were women or men, but it was there. The victims of alleged victims apparently feel that the NFL was not very good at it and was not very sensitive about it, and kind of feel like the NFL is turning their back on women. And at least that's what they said in the interview with SI. 713-780-3776, the number, if you'd like to get in here.
By the way, do you want to tell people, we got a text, Aaron, yesterday I got a text, it was me and Todd Farkerson, our general manager, and it's John telling me basically that there was a chance that he would never make it back to Houston.
Well, I don't know about never make it back to Houston, but it was up to United, I'd still be in Springfield right
Can
now.
Can you tell us where you were over the for your vacation? Where were you?
We went to Big Cedar Lodge.
Where's that?
It's about an hour south of Springfield, about 10 minutes from Branson, which don't go to Branson.
I hear about Branson all the time. I don't want to.
You wouldn't like it.
What is it?
It's
country. Well, no.
It's like under a bridge Nashville. It's not a. Only
is it
a,
corny?
It's not even a poor man's. It's under a bridge.
Yeah.
It's a homeless
man. So that's
man's
what you mean, Nashville. Yeah, it doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Weren't you in the Ozarks?
I was in the Ozarks. Yeah. I didn't launder. I swear to God, I didn't launder. Although I did see a casino, a big paddle boat, or a big, you know.
Why are you sitting on a chair, Wyatt? Did you see Ruth screaming at somebody?
I didn't see Ruth one time. But if the Ozarks are, dude, we rented a boat and it was just beautiful. Just, it's unbelievable. There is, and I think it's true, I don't know, it was in the show, there is more coastline in the Ozarks than there is the state of California.
Wow.
Yeah. There's more coastline. So it was just
scary.
It was just
like
unbelievable.
This?
So
you hear the music playing?
So it was.
Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, I got that. It was 3 hours. The plane there was delayed 3 hours.
Right.
And the plane back yesterday was delayed over 6 hours.
Oh, it was delayed when you were going out.
Out and back.
Well, where was the plane coming from?
From Houston.
Let me tell you something. We got, you remember when we had were you here for the hurricane?
Yeah.
The last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to tell you which hurricanes. You were here
Harvey?
For the last one. Yeah, you were here for Harvey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you remember how hard it rained.
Oh, yeah, I missed the hurricane. I missed one of our really bad rainstorms.
Yeah, this was, but you were here for the hurricane.
I was here for hurricane.
You remember how hard it rained.
And I didn't fly out on my buddies.
No. But this rained unbelievably hard. Yesterday, it might have rained even harder than hurricane rain, or about it, probably the same. I'm not sure it could rain harder. And some wind was knocked into it as well. And it rained like that for about 30 to 45 minutes. I was up here completely. It was hard getting in 45 minutes after it stopped raining. It was hard just getting back to my house. I don't live far from here at all. Like, something was up on Westheimer. Richmond, you could forget about it. Completely flooded out. You couldn't. No. I mean, Richmond was a disaster. Well, it is until you get past Fountain View and everything's fine. But from Fountain View to about 610, complete nightmare.
Well, here's the dirty. You know what? I think some of that might have been the case. This plane was supposed to leave at noon. This plane was supposed to leave at 1240 out of Houston, which would have been well before that rainstorm came, as I understand it. The dirty little secret about airlines is if you're on a smaller plane that is not going to make them nearly as much money, they put, because Springfield is a run that is done every, Springfield Branson is a run that's done every day out of Houston. Actually, there used to be two flights out of Houston every day.
Every day. Because tourism, I guess?
To Branson. Branson is a popular destination. And you go, I don't know how many other cities go directly to Branson, but they do. And I think there's one out of Atlanta that comes. So you go, you come through Houston to go to Branson. Anyway, it's not a big moneymaker for them. So they put crappy planes with, and they're the first ones. If they need another plane that's got to go somewhere, they probably steal it from Houston that's going to go to Branson. So this happens quite often. And if you travel on smaller planes, not puddle jumpers, but they're smaller planes, this is going to happen to you. And it happens. United, you suck. I just want to tell you, you suck. And I'm a big, I've got the card, so I get the miles and all of that stuff. And their service is ass right now. Ass. By the time you get your bags off the plane, how long it takes because they got fewer people, it's just ass. So I want to tell you, United, thank you very much for we were in that airport for about 7 hours. Or going on 8 hours yesterday. And it's just, there's nothing, trust me, the Springfield Branson Airport is not somewhere you want to spend 8 hours.
No, I never thought I did.
No. What do you feel like doing today?
You know what I'd like to do? Go to a small airport in a little smaller area.
Just terrible. Anyway, we finally got back about midnight last night. Supposed to be home at 5 yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And got back at midnight.
That's not good.
Yeah, no. All right, did you see Ron Rivera's quote? Speaking of, I just dropped the A word on United. Ron Rivera doing an interview with Ian Rappaport.
No, it was not Ian Rappaport. It was Albert Breer.
Albert Breer, excuse me.
Yeah.
Albert Breer. Here's what his quote is. You got some, quite frankly, effing a-holes that are putting, no, but he said the words.
Yeah.
That are putting a bunch of misinformation out there, leading people to die. These are his quotes on. Now, Ron Rivera has been a guy who he's had cancer. You know, he is a cancer survivor, so he has got to be really, really careful with COVID. He has got to be really.
Yeah. He's at a higher risk.
He's a higher risk, and his players are not getting the vaccine.
No, they're up over 85%.
They are now.
Yeah, they.
Well, they hadn't been.
They had been really low, and finally he's got some conspiracy theorists on his team, too.
Well, he does.
Not as many as maybe Dallas has now.
Buffalo.
We had to get Trayvon Diggs. No, Buffalo leads the league.
Yeah.
But Trayvon Diggs, we'll get to his Dallas. Congratulations, you got a moon landing guy on your team, dummy.
But Ron Rivera is like, man, he ain't. Ron Rivera don't care no more, I guess. Ron Rivera's got enough money. He's got a few money. So you know what he can say? A bunch of effing a-holes that are giving you misinformation about the vaccine. Well, yeah. Well played, sir. Well played.
He's not, you know, first of all, Ron's getting older now.
Yeah.
So once you get to that older man territory, you stop giving a bleep about anything. You'll just speak your mind. Plus, Ron's like, man, I could die behind this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not holding anything back. I've already had to fight cancer. What are y'all talking about? He's been an underdog in his life. I got another underdog for you.
What?
Underdogfantasy.com. Mark Cuban's got the big bucks in that one. He's one of the investors, and they do a great job. The design is very clean. It's good-looking design. But the way that you play Underdog Fantasy is really cool to me because it's different than some of the other ones that are out there. You actually have drafts in Underdog Fantasy. It's not based on, you know, salary caps that they create. You actually have drafts, and these drafts take place very, very quickly. You have larger leagues. You have smaller leagues. I'm already in three different fantasy football leagues that are going to be season-long fantasy football. I signed up. One was a big $25 with over $1 million going to the winner, and there's $3.5 million in prizes available on that Best Ball Mania 2. But I've also got two smaller ones that I've already drafted for as well. And what happens is you draft your team, and then from there, they will start whoever your best players are at those positions each week. So you don't even have to do sit or start. It's amazing. They do head-to-head battles. They do over-unders for different features, whether it's baseball, basketball, soccer, hockey. And you pair them together with multiple plays, and then all of a sudden, if you hit five of them, you win 10-1. That's 20-1. 20 times what your original play was. So make sure you go to underdogfantasy.com. It's a different way of playing fantasy football, and it's phenomenal. Use promo code radio to get $25 cash from your first deposit. It's underdogfantasy.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Dean of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we had our first example of, holy crap, is this really what we're going to see this year?
Wow, that was bad.
Benny LeMay?
Yeah. So the NFL has put a new, the NFL, oh, we got Max, what are we doing? Max Olsen's with us. Why are you doing the Benny LeMay thing?
I didn't look at the board. What's Max Olsen doing?
Do I need
to
go dig out my Shane Bell from the Blitz?
Max Olsen is joining us right now because we got to talk about what's going on. We had him on, not last week, but I think the week before, The Athletic's Max Olsen, who covers college football. And we really appreciate you joining us once again, Max, because we've got new stuff going on with the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten all getting together.
Well, really every conference other than the SEC.
Well, no, the Big 12 isn't involved in this. But
yet.
Yeah, well, right, maybe, but maybe not. We'll see, or they're just going to let the Big 12 go by the wayside.
Will you tell
and
us?
That is a question that we're going to ask you, Max Olsen. Max, tell us about what's the latest with this, and where does the Big 12 stand right now?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Appreciate you having me on. You know, the news we broke Friday is essentially that this is the direction it's heading in. That those three conferences feel that the move that they have to make here is to work together. But you sort of expected that when the SEC made their big, bold move of adding Texas and Oklahoma, that the other conferences were going to have to just get together and talk about, all right, what is the SEC doing and how are we supposed to respond to this? I mean, we can't just ignore this. And clearly for those three leagues, you know, their priority, their preference right now is not to go add members of the remaining Big 12 schools. Their preference is, all right, let's go figure out a way, as all this stuff is driven, let's go figure out a way to make more TV money and accumulate more power. And so they feel like, we don't really know the terms of this. So is it a scheduling alliance? Is it a voting block when it comes to, NCAA governance issues and the college football playoff proposal and all that? But these three commissioners, relatively newly hired commissioners, seem to be determined to work together and, use that, there's strength in numbers there to sort of shape the future of where we're going here in college athletics.
Max Olsen, The Athletic here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What does this mean for the Big 12?
Not great. not great. This is not the outcome that this is just not good news for Bob Bowlsby and the eight remaining members. I think that clearly from maybe the president's side, you know, their board, there was an interest here in Bob Bowlsby being aggressive, you know, going to meet with George Kliavkoff and the Pac-12 to figure out if there's a potential for a strategic partnership between the Big 12 and Pac-12. You know, Pac-12 turns around and works with the other two leagues, and you know, the Big 12 getting shut out of this, I think from a perception standpoint, is not good at all. And so, what does it mean for the future? I think it means that the eight, you know, I think that expansion for those three leagues is not imminent. You know, is not the priority now. And so, does that keep the eight schools in the Big 12 together a little more? I think probably so. But I think for them, that their attention now has to turn to expansion and, you know, sort of the usual list of candidates here, but going out and adding, I would think, probably 4 to 6 schools and just focusing on trying to be the best football conference you can possibly be and try to make up the money you're losing when OU and Texas leave in other ways.
Will the other conferences look at the Big 12? You know, let's say they add whatever, Central Florida, Cincinnati, Houston, whomever they add. Are they going to be considered one of the group of now six, or will they still be in the Power Five?
That's a fantastic question, and that absolutely is one of the objectives of this. Is that the Big 12, they need to fight for their spot at the table here, because it is so important from a revenue standpoint for all of their members that those Power Five leagues, they make more money on the CFP contract. They make more money off of the bowl payouts and all of that. And so, you know, I think the priority there becomes, you know, adding more members, whether you get to 12 or 14 or whatever. But yeah, the next step there is certainly that you need to fight to maintain that Power Five status. And I think there's some optimism within the Big 12 that wouldn't change, that they would still have that the Autonomy Five status. But yeah, that's certainly a huge question here. And, you know, no matter what people think from a perception standpoint of how strong or weak the Big 12 is anymore, you know, from a financial standing, you need that status.
What is going to be the next, like, what would be your prediction for the next set of occurrences to take place in college football? What does the timeline look like? And how would you, if you had to handicap it, what are the conference alignments? What do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think things, I could be dead wrong about this. I think things will settle down a little bit this fall. I think there will be a lot more of these meetings between commissioners and ADs and stuff to figure out what the future is. Certainly, there's this constitutional Congress for the NCAA where they are going to take a very hard look here at reforming the NCAA in a modern way and what those leagues want to do, what Greg Sankey and others want to do from that standpoint, I think is going to be very consequential. But, I think this is, if this partnership comes together, you know, we'll see how quickly that actually, you know, sort of gets activated and when do these leagues start scheduling games together. And certainly I think from a TV inventory standpoint, that would be, beneficial for all of them. But, I think the next part of this timeline is figuring out, when do Texas and Oklahoma make that move to the SEC? Certainly the folks in the Big 12 want to keep them there through 2025. I'm sure that Oklahoma and Texas would love to be playing in the SEC next year. And I think that that issue definitely, that and Big 12 expansion, I think kind of become the primary issues for the Big 12 here going forward.
So I think that the other conferences are all worrying about the SEC just bullying them. By banding together, is that enough to hold off the SEC from running the whole show?
Well, one person sort of described this to me as you could look at this long term as what if this is almost like an AFC versus NFC kind of situation where the SEC is the AFC and the other three work together as the NFC. And certainly, like, I could see, as crazy as that sounds, I could see that being maybe like the long, long-term, end game here. But I think part of it is these three leagues probably need to band together from the standpoint of, the SEC certainly could just go after the very, biggest and best brands, in the Big Ten and ACC, for example. Like, what's stopping them from going after a you know, other than these, you know, these TV deals and grant rights and stuff, like, I think these leagues working together makes sense because I'm sure they are fearful that Greg Sankey's, you know, would have his eyes on Clemson and Florida State and Ohio State and Michigan and all that. So, you know, I think that is part of the motivation here of, you know, while, you know, we don't really totally know what these partnerships look like, but I feel like they just look at the landscape here and say, we have to do something.
Yeah, I would think so. If they did grab, because there was talk about Clemson and Florida State and possibly Ohio State and then whomever else, Michigan, I guess Michigan. There was talk about that. If that happened, that wouldn't be an AFC and NFC anymore. That would be an NFL and a CFL, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, and I'm not a big soccer guy, but that's like the Premier League, basically.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then that now are the national championship. Not that it doesn't come down to four teams anyway. Right now, five, six, seven programs that actually have a chance to win a national championship. But you're really cutting it even more than that, aren't you?
Yeah, and also with the timing of how this is all going down, if that's the end game that Greg Sankey wants to put together, then why do you need the NCAA? You know, I mean, you're going to be making more money than the NCAA, you know, on your own. So you can just say, hey, we're creating this super league, and we're going to play by our own rules out here. And so that is, you know, I think there's a lot of college administrators that are a little bit fearful of that future because it is just so dramatically different. I'm not saying that stuff's going to happen in the next few years, but this is why these leagues are looking to, you know, sort of conspire together, is because I think there is a real sense of, man, we need to figure out what the SEC is trying to do here, and we need to, you know, we need to stay as competitive as possible here because clearly Sankey is many moves ahead of everybody else.
Yep. This is Max Olson from The Athletic right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When it comes down to it, what will Division One? How many teams will Division One have? Will it be 64? I'm going to put a number at 64, higher or lower?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Big 12 number is still a part of that. You know, I would be surprised if you're drawing that line of the haves and have-nots and of the autonomy five and the, you know, the group of five. I think right now that's the thing that is scary to folks in the Big 12 is you don't want to be on the other side of that. You don't want to be on the outside of that where your revenue is just not even close to these other leagues. But yeah, I mean, I think that is the kind of thing that, you know, if the Big 12 expands, then maybe that number is a little bit bigger, right? But, you know, this is the real concern here is that you just feel like there is, you know, the plates are moving right now, and you feel like there could be kind of this big split on the ground, and you want to be on the wrong side of it.
Yep, absolutely. That's Max Olson. Hey, Max, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us. Always good stuff. Anything else that happens, we would love to get back a hold of you.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, man, that is Max Olson right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Everyone's scrambling for their lives in yep. The Big 12 right now. This has to terrify you. The thought that three other conferences are already conspiring to try to get together. If you're the Big 12, only a few teams are going to get pulled into a super conference. It's not the whole conference. So you have to really be concerned right now if you're a handful of those teams.
Oh, absolutely. So when we come back, News of the Weird.
Did I get to finally be part of News of the Weird?
You do get to be part of News of the Weird. And let me ask you a question. Would you like to get drunk and earn $5.5 million?
I mean, is there an opening?
Yes, there is an opening. Okay. Because like now there's precedent.
Yeah, I'd like for you to tell me about that job on the other side.
All right, I will. But right now I'm going to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. Lance, you and I, we both met with Billy and Mary and Michelle, and it was... I really, really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were fun.
They're great people. But here's the thing, too. And Billy told us, he said, make sure that you tell everybody, first of all, repiping. You had a repipe issue.
I had a repipe issue because I lived in a house that was older. It was built in the early 60s. And anybody who has a house that's older, you either have had pipe issues or you're going to have pipe issues.
And the second thing was a free consultation because a lot of plumbing companies, listen, it is one of the hardest things in the world is to get a plumber to actually come to your home and actually do the work and give you a great price because they got you by the shorties. They do. They got you by the short hairs because you got to have that plumbing. At Aqueduct, they're not going to charge you to come. They're going to give you fair pricing. You are going to love what they do for you. You can trust them. This is a locally owned and operated company with great people that you can trust. All you got to do is go to aqueductplumbing.com. That's aqueductplumbing.com. And, my friends, or you can give them a call at 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. Aqueduct Plumbing, they're at your disposal.
Realest on my face, little CC, let it slap with the bass. I used to say, put a mask in a cave. Now I'm like, nah, love, I'm good, go away. Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. I was on top when it.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. The Dean of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
I don't know if the Dean, you're the Dean, Charlie, of Houston Sports Radio.
Actually,
right,
that's
now.
True.
Just
that
a couple true. Of experienced guys. Three experienced guys.
Experienced. Yeah, we're experienced.
Men grow that's experienced, a, women grow old. Right? I feel like I'm totally disrupting the Twitch framing, by the way.
No. It's perfect. It's going to be bad with a big bald spot in there. Whoever comes has to come in here and do this. The crosstalk thing. But, Charlie, we were excited about the Texans. Were you?
Or did they exceed your expectations?
They exceeded expectations. Yeah, that's what I was
fair.
Excited about.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I thought two things on the subject. God, this is early. How do you guys do this?
we're late. Yeah, we're late.
And speaking of early,
you are
launching Radio Row coverage of the Texans at Super Bowl 56. This year has to be in Los Angeles. You know what time you guys are going to have to be up for that?
Mm. Right.
If we're there.
Yeah.
I probably won't fight hard for that one.
No.
You know what did the Texans make it? Well, I guess we're going to L.A.
Well, yeah, if
doing a 5 o'clock show.
Yeah, as soon as the Texans make it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm looking forward to that. Well, you know what, though, Charlie? They were my bar is set extremely low for the Texans. It just is. Just to see, and you're somebody who follows this closely, you know, the difference between Anthony Weaver, first-year defense coordinator, and grizzled veteran and up the field, one-gapping, attack-oriented, turnover-creating Lovie Smith. I mean, that's night and day, just and that's applicable after one preseason game. We can see the difference.
You guys weighed in on Lovie's beard yet?
That's cool.
They turned that into a three-minute. But my argument
they
would
turn
be,
it a
that's
whole
not
segment.
Cool. I never understood. Well, both of you guys have the grizzled.
Yeah.
In August, in Houston, I know they were in Lambeau.
I don't know how
they're
doing
it. They play in air conditioning.
They
here.
Showed all the players walking up.
Like yeah, they turned it into a three-minute bit. It was a preseason.
Yeah, it was yeah, three right. minutes, yeah.
yeah.
Everyone
unanimous.
Said they liked it. Yeah. Now, all I could think of was,
I thought it was cool.
Get rid of that beard. It's,
no,
it's too hot.
No.
That's
he's
thick.
Cool.
It's too
he's
hot.
Too cool. He's too cool. All right, you got that. You got Astros, and I would imagine some other stuff.
Yeah, 2 hours, so we'll be working it. I'm not a big English Premier League guy. You have an adopted team, right?
Yeah, Everton.
Did you see the Brentford thing?
Yeah, I did.
That was maybe the moment of the weekend other than some nobody throwing a no-hitter for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Wait a minute. What about the L.A. fight?
Those are a dime a dozen.
No, not that fight.
Fights in L.A.
That one was pretty good.
Passion at a Rams-Chargers game.
Yeah.
Who thought?
Yeah. All right, well, Charlie, the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Thanks, Charlie.
So an Andrews man was awarded $5.5 million on July 27th, filed a civil suit against La Fogata Mexican restaurant.
La Fogata.
A Mexican grill. Claiming the restaurant and bar negligent when they overserved him alcohol, which he alleges later caused him to be injured in an altercation with another customer. In other words, he got drunk, he got into a fight at La Fogata, and he won $5.5 million.
Here's why. After drinking, he got into the altercation. Rawls alleges he sustained a head injury during the argument with Henriksen, this guy named, his name is Henriksen. Is what his name is.
Right.
It's something Henriksen.
Right.
And this guy got into a fight, and they said the lawsuit states that La Fogata's owner, Lourdes Galindo, and an unknown bartender are responsible for the injury. You know why, John? Because they allowed the two men to not only drink excessively, but also leave the restaurant together and the restaurant was also negligent by not calling an ambulance after Rawls was injured. But their negligence doesn't stop there. They also were negligent. Are you ready for this? Rawls alleges that Galindo failed to ensure the parking lot didn't include obstacles that would pose a tripping or falling hazard to intoxicated patrons. As somebody who has been an intoxicated person, at least, I don't know about patron, I can tell you that the amount of tripping hazards that are out there really multiplies by 3 to 4. It doesn't take a lot. My wife was an intoxicated patron one time of a place, and she misstepped on one of those stones that they have out there. High ankle sprain for about 6 weeks. We didn't sue anybody.
Well, you should have. You could have won $5.5 million.
I could get drunk.
That's on you.
Get into a fight and win $5.5 million.
Yes.
Can I just get drunk and win $5.5 million?
Are you guys a little worried? Did you hear the turkeys are not going to? It's going to be hard to get turkeys this year for Thanksgiving.
Nope. Stick with my brisket.
Yeah. Apparently. No, it's Turkey Day.
No one does turkey anymore.
Everybody does turkey.
What's happened to turkeys?
Okay.
COVID got them?
It's unbelievable that you're not going to do turkey on Thanksgiving.
What happened to turkeys?
Turkey apparently are going to be difficult to get this year. Just so you know, I would buy mine now. Just so you know, okay? All right. I've got very little time here, so we're going to just have to cut it there. Charlie Polillo is next.
That was a terrible news of the week.
Well, I know it was, so we're going to have to figure that out. But here's the deal. We will be back tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed the new program. Up next, it's Charlie Polillo. After that, Joel and Jeremy Branham. And then the Wheelhouse, right, is after that. So that new show debuts right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about Lafayette, Louisiana. Listen, it's the summer is still here. You still got time before the kids go to school, or even not. If the kids are in school and you want to get a little getaway, how about go to Lafayette, Louisiana? It's just 85, but basically, the average hotel room is $85 a night in Lafayette, Louisiana. And listen, you are not going to find a bad place to eat and drink, listen to music, have fun. The people are great. There's all kinds of stuff to do. But if you're into eating, Lafayette is one of the greatest cities in America to eat at. I'm telling you here and now, you won't. It's going to be hard to find a bad room. Go to LafayetteTravel.com, and you're going to see for yourself all of the different, and you'll see the restaurants that are participating in Eat Lafayette this summer, giving away or actually discounting a lot of their food. You're looking for a great way to have a nice getaway, affordable getaway, close, just 3.5 hours away. Go to LafayetteTravel.com. That's LafayetteTravel.com.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.